אבי אבי רכב ישראל ופורשיו Father, Father, chariot of Israel and its horsemen, twice in history do we hear this pained outcry when a great leader leaves this world and his Talmud feels inadequate to take up the mantle of responsibility and leadership. Eliyahu Hanavi, in his last moments here on earth, walks with his Talmud Elisha, Vayihem Ohoilchim Holoich, Vedaber, they're both walking, speaking Divrei Torah, Vihinei Rechev Eish Vesusei Eish, Yafridu ben shneihem. Chariot of fire separates them. V'yal Eliyahu b'sach ha'shemoyim. And Eliyahu Hanavi goes up to heaven in a storm. V'Elisha ro'yeh. Elisha sees his Rebbe leaving him. V'hu mitzayek, and he cries out, Avi, Avi. Rechev Yisrael uforoshav. Who did you leave leadership of Klal Yisrael to? And then again, Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol, the Talmid of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Rebbe of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Rebbe of Rebbe Kiva, tells the Gemara that Rebbe Eliezer, Levaya was on a Mitzvah Shabbos. He was being taken Mikesari Lelud. And Rabbi Kiva met the funeral procession. He was so distraught. He beat upon himself to blood flowed from him. Pasach b'shura v'yomar, and what did he say, Rabbi Kiva? Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael uforoshav. Avi, Avi, says Rabbi Kiva, har b'mois yeshli. I have so much money, meaning I have so many shilas to ask. V'yein li shulchani la'artzoysan. I have no banker to cash them for me. I have no one to answer my shailas. This past Motzei Shabbos, all of those who were zeichet to be here, bashkafta the Rebbe, and those of us like myself who were on a shlichus of Abbot Zastir in another land, together with everyone, whether in the United States or in England or South Africa, in all of the places that Reb Nachman reached, everyone cried out on that Motzei Shabbos like Rebbe Kiva did on his Motzei Shabbos, Avi Avi, Rechev Yisrael uforoshav, you've left us. We can't fill the place that you occupied in your leadership. What does that mean, Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael uforoshav? What is that double expression of Avi Avi? Say Chazal, Avi means father, the second Avi means Imi, my mother. Rebbe Kiva referred to his Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer. Elisha referred to his Rebbe, Eliyahu, the way we refer to Reb Nachman, Avi, Imi. A father not only to his own mishpacha, a father to so many Talmidim, a father to so many people who davened with his shul, who looked in for leadership. A father to all of those who heard his divrei Torah throughout the world, but also Imi. That special love, that compassion of a mother who had time and patience for everyone, who came and found him, their koisel maravi, their weeping wall, poured out their hearts and got guidance and got sympathy. Avi, 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 Vimi. There is also a concept of Avi, Avi, says the Medrash. Avi is Avi, father, and Avi is Rebbe. He was first and foremost the teacher of so many people, as we heard, from every level, from the simplest to the greatest. And what does the Targum say? On Rechev Yisrael for Rosho. Ayoyoy, says the Targum, that Elisha said, Rebbe, you know what your value was. He says, Tavlohon the Yisrael, you were better for Klal Yisrael than Rasichin and Farashi. You were better than all of the chariots and all of the horses. Tavlohon the Yisrael Bitzluse, with your davening, you were more powerful for Klal Yisrael than Rasichin and Farashi, than all the chariots and all the tanks. When we think of the tefillahs that were here at this base Knesset, at this base Medrash, those tefillahs which inspired thousands of Talmidim, that was the Hakonah, that was the protection of Klal Yisrael. Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael Farosham, the tefillahs of Rav Nachman here. Oy. How do we begin to understand the loss of an Avi, of an Imi? An Imi, I can still see Rav Nachman standing up here after inspiring us with his Kol Nidre, standing up here years ago when he created a minhag for our yeshiva and turned to all the Talmidim and says, there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael to give a brachos habonim, to bless the children on Erev Yom Kippur. Your parents aren't here, so I'll take the role of a surrogate parent. And he ran off in tears. That's filling which we say to our children. And it's a minhag which became entrenched here, and every year when the Rav Nachman was not able to be here, I carried it on, but never, never in the way that Rav Nachman could do it. Avi, 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 Imi. That concern that the kinderlach, the talmidim of the yeshiva, should have a parent to give him a bracha standing here in that kittel. When I look at that empty chair where Rav Nachman sat, oh, the tefillahs of Rav Nachman on Yemei Noiroyim, Rechev Yisrael of Farashom. And Rabbi Kiva says, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael of Farashom, Rabbi Eliezer, I have so many shailas to ask. And I have no banker, I have nobody who has the wealth to be able to answer them. The last visit that I made to Rav Nachman, just a few days before he was nifta, and it was so difficult for him to even hear, and I spoke to him in a language that we both so specially saved for special occasions. I spoke to him in Yiddish at the request of his son, telling him not to worry, that he has tremendous chusim of all the Talmidim that he established, and all the Torah that he taught, and all the mitzvahs, and all the tefillahs. And Rav Nachman saw how difficult it was for me. It was so difficult to speak to him. And he said, in the last words that I heard from him, he says to Kent's gate, you can go now. Where can I go now? I say like a Makina. How big voice, Yeshli, of so many shilas. So many shilas in Hashkafa, in Halacha, in Adracha. Where am I going to go? Abi Yavi, Rechav Yisrael, Farashav. As I'm not to mention, we need only Rav Nachman. Only he could have possibly have been able to give the hesped that's needed. Chazal have a very special expression for a man of such varied talents. They refer to it as a ish eshkoilos. What is the meaning of eshkoilos? Ish shakol boy. Someone who has everything in him, who had the depths of Chochmas HaTorah, of the world of the literary yeshivas of Hasidus, intellect, the secular knowledge that he used as a tool for communicating Torah, a rav, a mechanech, a leader, ish shekol boy. How can we finally give expression to that? How do we describe the impact of Rav Nachman's passing from us? The pasuk says, "Mipnei ro ne'asaf hatzadik." The tzadik is a kapara for his doyer. When there's a time of danger facing Klal Yisrael, mipnei ro. The Rabbeinu Shalom takes a kob, he takes away the tzaddik. He's a kapara for the doyer. Chazal tell us, in Masechta Moed Katan, Lama Nismacha, why is it that we find in the Torah that the parsha of Miriam's passing is right next to the parsha of Poro Aduma? Loimelecha, to teach you. Ma Poro Aduma mechaperes, just like it says by Poro Aduma that it's a kapora, it's an atonement, af mesison shal tzadikim mechaperes, so too is the death of a tzadik a kapora. Rabbi Yonis Leibschitz, in the Aris Dvash, offers us a fascinating insight into this equation which Chazal have made. Why do they compare Misa as a tzaddikim to Poro Aduma? The Misa of a tzaddik, the passing of a tzaddik, in some mystical fashion that's beyond our understanding. And that's why a Poro Aduma is called a chok. Beyond our understanding. Sama b'yufin skuli. It wreaks some kind of magical spiritual effect on his doyer. It purifies them, it cleanses them, it atones for them. That's what the Misa of a Tzaddik does. But we know that in a Poro Aduma is a paradox. That it's Mitayer es Hatmeim, those removed from him, those who need the Kapora, it gives them a Tahara. But a Poro Aduma, the ashes of a Poro Aduma are Mitamei es HaTohoirim. The Tehoirin, the people who worked together with Rav Nachman, the Talmidim who learned from him, those who were so close to him, listen what happens to them, says Rabbi Einison. Those who were close to him, that they, for them, it's Chas V'Shalom, the opposite of it. For them it's a tremendous, tremendous loss that they have suffered. This is his lashon. Ubavoyne seinu, oilam choshech ba'adam. For them, darkness has descended to the world. Vahilayla. For them, it's a tremendous loss, and we feel that. the kapala, of course, of Nachman's going gdolim tzaddikim and misasim yeshiv v'chayeyem. Suddenly Rav Nachman will pull before the kisei hakavod. Wonderful things for Klal Yisrael. I made it yosher. He's going to be metayer a lot of tmeim the way he was in his lifetime and all of his teaching and all of his works of kiruv. But what about the toirim? What about those who were zeicher to come close to him, to learn from him, to work together with him? This metame is a toirim for them. The world is cast, plunged into darkness. We heard before another equation that Chazal make, that the Misas Tzadikim is compared to Sreifas Beis Elokeinu, the Lamdecha, say Chazal, Sechet Rosh Hashanah, Sheshkula Misasin Shal Tzadikim Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. The Yun Yankev calls our attention to this also interesting comparison. Why did Chazal choose to compare the death of a tzaddik to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which we mourn in these days? We have a klal that no tzaddik leaves the world until another tzaddik comes along to replace him. Achale kofso shimsho shaleili, before the sun set on Eli HaKoyen, already there rose the son of a new godel, of Shmuel. So someone might ask, why do we weep? Why are we standing here being maspid? The passing of a tzaddik, the passing of a godel. The Rabbeinu Shloilem has promised us that he will not abandon us and there will be someone to replace him. So Chazal come along and tell us, why do we weep for the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash? One of the five things that we cry for and fast for in Tisha B'Av is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. Why do we weep 70 years later and it was the second Beis HaMikdash? It was replaced. And the answer is, sure, there was a second Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't quite the same. There were five things, say Chazal and Masechet Yuma, that were in the first Beis HaMikdash, and there were not in the second one. Says the Yun Yankov, that's what Chazal wanted to communicate to us. Of course, the Rabbeinu Shlom didn't abandon Klal Yisrael, and he gave them a second Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't the same. And sure, when a tzaddik passes, there will come another tzaddik, there will come another leader, but it will never be the same. Each deir, one step further away from Sinai, each deir is nismayit. That's what Chazal wanted to communicate to us in that equation. And when I reflect on this Chazal, on what were those five things that we're missing in that second Beis HaMikdash, and try to apply them to what Rav Nachman is missing in our lives. And when I think about the first, about the idea of the tainus, I can never forget, it must have been 25 years ago, when Rav Nachman introduced another breakthrough, an innovation, a chiddush. He was always being mechadish something. When I asked Rav Nachman, it was some Gedalia then. Rav Nachman, none of us, not the Rabbeim and not the Talmidim, know what it's all about. Who was Gedalia? What's it all about? What are we fasting about? Rav Nachman says, give me 15 minutes. Rav Nachman comes out after 15 minutes, stands up in the Beis Medrash, and delivered a fascinating historical account of who was Gedalia ben Achik and what's the fast all about. And that became, for the next 25 years, and in every tainus, Rav Nachman, through most of the years, and other years, those who learn from him. I come not to myself. Who would keep up that minig that had developed into that stage where even on this past Shavuos HaMatamos, already 3 years in a row, when we've had a whole afternoon of a Yom Iyun on that, and all started with that blick of a Rav Nachman, who understood that a tainus has to be utilized, it has to be explained. And that he left over with that bracha sabonim on Yom Kippur, with that shmuz on a tainus, with so many other things that he was mechadish over here, which serve as living monuments to his inspiration. But let's go back to the five things that the Beis HaMikdash was missing, and how they're missing in our own lives. The first thing, the Ogun Kapoiris and Kruvim, those that contained the Luchai Sabris, the Torah Akdoisha, they weren't there in the second Beis HaMikdash. When I think of a Nachman, he was an Ogun. He was the Kruvim and the Kapoiris that carried Torah into the remotest communities and throughout the world. Whether it was building a yeshiva in Far Rockaway, a Talmud Torah in Migdal Emek, translating a Sefer Torah, and helping to create the miracle of Or Sameach. Heard a story just before from Rabbi Yehuda Samet. Thought about a visit he had from an old Rav who had been a Rav in Danville, Virginia, back in the 20s. And he says that 30 years later, he was passing by Danville and he wanted to see whatever happened to that shul that he served in as a Rav. Walked into the shul and he saw a young rabbi. What was that young rabbi doing? Learning with a 10-year-old boy. He was learning Bava Kamma with him. That little boy later on grew up to be a Talmud Chacham who wrote a Sefer on Bava Kamma. Rav Nachman saw the potential, as Amnata pointed out, in a little boy of 10. And the powerful, brilliant sermons that he delivered from the pulpit didn't mean as much to him as learning Bava Kamma with that youngster. He was the Ogun. When we heard about in London, we heard about the Istalkus. So many Talmidim came over to tell me how much they had learned from him and how much they remembered his shiurim here, his shiurim in London. The same thing I heard about people in Johannesburg, wherever he went. People followed him from place to place, and people still repeat his Torahs. He was an Ogun, a Kapoiris, and a Kruvim. It's no longer here. The second thing the Beis HaMikdash was missing was Eish. That fire which came down, Min HaShemayim. In the first Beis HaMikdash, it was like a lion, powerful. And it helped with the Eish that was brought by man. It helped to consume the Kabbonis who were offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the second Beis HaMikdash, it was subdued like a dog, the fire. And it had no impact on the Kabbonis. What was the Eish of Rav Nachman? The fire in him. The fire that he stood up against every compromise that people wanted to make in communal life. The fire that was in him to help found an NCSY to be Mekar of youngsters. The fire that led to him establishing as the first editor that powerful magazine, that spokesman for Jewry, was the Jewish Observer. That was the fire of Rav Nachman. The fire that he brought to Yerushalayim when someone had to come speak and work against the building of a stadium. And that successful campaign, as we heard in the Hesped here from Rav Heisner last week, as you heard, which turned around and became a wonderful Haredi community. Fire! Fire in every battle. Fire when he had to speak about the dangers of secularism, of secular Zionism, whatever it was that had to be spoken about. Fire, and not the fire of a dog. The fire of a lion. The fire that still burns in the hearts of everyone who heard him. Third thing was the Shekhinah. Shekhinah wasn't there in the second Beis HaMikdash. That closeness to the Rabbeinu Shleiman, which existed in the first Beis HaMikdash. The Shekhinah which we felt when we heard Rabbi Nachman's tefillahs on the Yomim Neiroim, on a Shabbos and a Yontiv, when we sat at his Shabbos and Yontiv Tish. When we sat and spoke with him, we felt the Shekhinah there. That Shekhinah is not here anymore. And the fourth thing, Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh, which the Nevi'im had in the first Beis HaMikdash, was missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. Ruach HaKodesh was the ability to foresee the future, the needs for the future, and to prepare for it. Reb Nachman saw the need for kehillahs, as Abshapsi mentioned, kehillahs that could give those who came from Western lands an ability to adjust to Eretz Yisrael. And he was instrumental in the kehillahs, not only in Yerushalayim, but in Beitar, Migdal HaEmek, Telstone that came to seek his advice, Matityahu, where was there an English-speaking kehillah that didn't turn to Rav Nachman for guidance? Zeruah HaKodesh that established that. Parshas Shavuos Veschanon. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel Tfilos Kiminyan Veschanon. 515 Tfilos. He was mispalel for the schus to come into Eretz Yisrael. Say to Mephoshim, even though Moshe Rabbeinu's requests were not granted, he only saw Eretz Yisrael and didn't enter it. But his tefillahs made it possible for 515 different ways that Jews throughout the Deiris would find a road to Eretz Yisrael. All of us who are sitting here, each of us came on one of those drachim of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs. For Rav Nachman, we were zeichet that his road to Eretz Yisrael was Or Sameach. And in all the years that he was here, he provided that kind of inspiration and that kind of guidance, practical etzes, together with a tremendous love of Eretz Yisrael that opened up all of those roads that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for. And the fifth thing, the final thing that was missing in the second Beis HaMikdash was the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim, says the Gemara in Brachos, were called Kreisi U'Pleisi. What is the meaning of all those words? Urim V'Tumim, Kreisi U'Pleisi, that answered the questions of Klal Yisrael. Melech, the Kohen Gadol, would ask, yes, go out to war, not go out to war, will we succeed? And then on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, on his Choshen HaMishpat, there flashed the answer. Urim, Shemeirim Divreyem. Their words lit up. Metumim, Mashlimim Divreyem. Their words were complete. They were whole. They were not flawed. Kreisi U'Pleisi, Kursim Divreyem. Cut right through to the core. Umufloim Divreyem. And how wonderful those words. Rav Nachman, when he was asked the most difficult shailas, and how many times did he relate to his colleagues here, to his Talmidim, what those shailas were? He never flinched. He never said, come back, or I can't answer it. Rav Nachman answered, and he answered with a clarity. Meirim divreyem. He answered with finality, with definitiveness. Oy, that was an Urim V'Tumim. And gone. With the first Beis HaMikdash, that Urim V'Tumim, whether he was speaking to an audience, Whether he was leading a community or he was leading a young boy or a young girl and giving them their personal etzer. So all of those things that we're missing in the Baya Sheni, they're missing for us. And the tzaddik's departure is like what? Like Seifas Beis Elokeinu. When I reflect on Rav Nachman, I think of another pshat. What is the meaning of Seifas Beis Elokeinu? There's a link, there's a chain leading all the way from the Beis Hamikdash to our own generation. But there have to be special people who are the links in that chain, who connect us to that pinnacle of Kedusha. There are phrases for that. One of those phrases we use in our tefillin al tzaddikim, we ask the Rabbeinu Shem to protect Pleita Seifreihem. Pleita Seifreihem means the remnants of those scholars, a remnant of a previous doyer who connects us to the doyer that is in the past. And that doyer connects to another and another to the Beis Hamikdash. Sometimes we refer to those people as the Matike Yashmua. Those people who transmit our tradition from generation to generation. That was Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman was that chain. When I think of everything that we heard from him, his approach to Gemara, it echoed the derech of the sacred Lithuanian yeshivas. The der that he was mekabel from his great rabbein, his stories about the colorful chassidim in the Polish shtibel on the Lower East Side, where he grew up, it introduced us to a world of chassidus we never knew. Not only did he open up for us the wellsprings of chassidic thought with his mastery of their sforim, especially took pride, special interest in the form of Reb Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. But when he said a hesped here in this Beis HaMedrash on a previous Ger Rebbe, we felt that we were actually meeting the spiritual giants of that Hasidic dynasty which he so admired. When he spoke of the Briske Rav and the Chazon Ish, we saw Das Teure before our eyes. And when he spoke to the Talmidim of our Or LaGola program, preparing themselves for careers in Rabbonis, in outreach and Chinuch, he connected them to the Chasam Sofer, to Reb Shamshel Vol Hirsch, and the Sri Deyesh, and made them feel as if they were themselves fighting the same battles against reform, Haskalah, and compromise, which these great men had fought in Europe, in which Reb Nachman had fought in the United States. But it wasn't only the spiritual wealth of pre-war Europe which Reb Nachman served as a link in a golden chain. That golden chain went back all the way to the Nevi'im, who would come alive in every shir that he gave in Chumash and in Nach, to the Tanoim and Amoroim, whose profound wisdom and sterling midos virtually jumped off the pages of the Gemara and the Medrash, as he so brilliantly explained them. He could tell us what Rishonim and Achronim, what a Rambam and Achoves Avoves, what a Kuzri, a Mabit and Mesil Shishom and a Vilna Goyim, what they said about their own times, and how it applied to our own lives. And when he spoke of the Mesiras Nefesh of Jews, as he so often did, who went to be burned at the stake rather than to kiss the cross, our eyes filled with tears, as if we were actual witnesses to their heroic Kiddush Hashem. He had a brilliant historical perspective of every moment, of every movement and every segment of Klal Yisrael, and taught us to appreciate the ideology of each of those movements and to criticize were necessary, but to do so out of compassion and out of love. So Rav Nachman was our chain, our link to all the deiros, to all those worlds which we were not privileged to be part of, and which we became a part of only through what he taught and what he inspired. Rav Nachman was a role model to all of the Rabbeim here and to all of his Talmidim, a role model of Mesiras Nefesh, a man of brilliant talents who could have achieved the highest positions in the world and chose rather to go from place to place wherever it was possible to reach out and bring the Dvar Hashem. Mesiras Nefesh of Rav Nachman, the Mesiras Nefesh of his Rebbetzin, of his family, that Mesiras Nefesh remains a tremendous model for us, an inspiration for all of us, as we try to fill the tremendous vacuum that he left behind. The vacuum that caused an Eliyahu and a Rabbi Kiva to cry out, Avi Avi Rechem Yisrael Faroshav. That Mesiras Nefesh, to use every koyach that we have for Kiddush Hashem. You know, there's a tradition in Klal Yisrael that the Daf HaYomi, the Daf that Klal Yisrael throughout the world learns on a particular day, has a special message for the events of that day. When I learned the Daf in Bava Basra today, I could not help but reflect on its application to this hesped. Gemara asks, why is it when the Pasuk speaks of David HaMelech, it says that Vayishkav, it calls it he went to sleep. When it speaks of Yoav, it says that he died. Says the Gemara, when someone leaves over a ben k'moisai, when somebody leaves over children that follow in his derech, then he's only gone to sleep. When someone fails to do that, that's called death. We heard Reb Shapsi here. We know the tremendous achievements of all of his children, sons-in-laws, daughters-in-law. Hiniach ben k'moisai. He left over children, Baruch Hashem, that helped to fill that vacuum. Rav Nachman only went to sleep. And in his sleep, we have what Chazal tell us, a tremendous nechama for us. Yemoa says in Masechta Yevamos, David HaMelech asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aguro bo'elecho elamim, let me live in your tent in two worlds. Ask the Gemara, v'chi efshar lo la'adam lagur b'shnei elamim? Can a man live in two worlds? In this world and in the world to come? Then there's the world to come after he goes to sleep. So how can he possibly be considered as still living in this world? Omar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon, may it be your will, sheyomru dvar shmua mipi b'olam hazeh, that people should say over in my name the Torah they heard from me in this world. Because Rabbi Yochanan has taught us in the name of Shimba Yechoi that kol Talmid Chacham sheyomrim dvar shmua mipiv b'olam hazeh, when Torah is said over in the name of a Talmud Chacham in this world, Sivsaisav Deivavois Bekevel, his lips move in his grave. Rav Nachman, you didn't die, you went to sleep, you left over a mishpacha like this. Rav Nachman, your lips will be moving, you'll be living in this world for a long, long time. Your Talmidim, Talmidim shall Talmidim. You have Talmidim here today who are Rebbeim of other Talmidim. And they're all repeating the Torahs of Rav Nachman. Those lips are moving in the Kevel. You're living in both worlds. It's our hope, our tefillah to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, that as difficult as it was to be maspid Reb Nachman without Reb Nachman being here to do it himself, that we fulfilled the tremendous responsibility of seeing that a Talmud Chacham was nispet kehalocha, that the proper respect was paid to a Talmud Chacham. I join those who spoke before me in asking Reb Nachman to be a Melitz Yosha for his mishpacha, for his Talmidim, for Klal Yisrael. And I want to add one special request. I wasn't zeicher to be at the Levaya of Reb Nachman. And when you work together with somebody for 25 years, someone who has such a passion for honesty, a passion for emes, there were moments of disagreement as well. And one thing I can never forget about Reb Nachman is I ask him mechila now. After every time that we had any sort of disagreement, the moment I came home, the telephone rang and Reb Nachman was on the phone. Apologizing. Chas v'shalom. He said anything that might have hurt me when I was the one that should have been asking for an apology, giving an apology. With that kind of a record, I'm sure that Reb Nachman will be moichel me, moichel my colleagues, all of us, if we didn't appreciate enough the treasure that was in our midst, and perhaps even though we tried in every way to give him every opportunity to express himself and try to give him the cover that was due to him, we're only human, and we may have been lacking. With that sense of mechila that he always showed, we're sure that he'll be moichelas, and that it'll be a meretz yosha for Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael should already see the end of its golus, the Tisha B'Av, the coming one, should already turn into a yontiv as the Navi promised, and that we should see the fulfillment of the nevuah of a bila amovas lenetzach, ומוחו השם אליקים דימו מעל כל פונים ונעימה עומה.
Israel, 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 Isra